Amen. It's great to be back with you guys this weekend, whether you're here in the room or you're worshiping with us online. We're thankful that you have joined us. If you have a Bible, go with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 will be at verse 41 here in just a second. And we are tonight, wrapping up our series called We Are the Church. And we're returning to the passage that we began the entire series with. Acts chapter 2 will be in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. As we talk about today, this issue of being devoted to the fellowship, being devoted to the fellowship. Now, I hate to ask you to do this, but if you would, please stand back to your feet out of reverence for reading the words of God. We'll start in verse 41 and we'll read down through verse 47. Luke wrote these words as he was carried along by the Holy Spirit. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. So Acts 2 tells us that one of the key characteristics of the early church is that they were devoted to the fellowship. Now, that word fellowship in Greek is the word koinonia, which means fellowship or communion together or having a close relationship. Basically, what we say in our day is they were living life together. They were committed to one another. They were in close bond and relationship with one another. And we see what it means in this passage to be devoted to the fellowship. They were sharing meals together. They were praying for one another. They were being generous towards one another. They were attending worship together. All of these things, as they were sharing life with one another, as they were communing with one another, they were devoted to the fellowship. And what that really means is they were committed to one another. That's what it means to be devoted to the fellowship. They were committed to one another. Now, theologians, when they look at this and they look at this concept of this characteristic of the church, they use terms like covenant membership or terms like meaningful membership. You heard Pastor Troy use that earlier. That's what theologians talk about when they talk about this idea of being devoted to the fellowship, covenant membership or meaningful membership. Now, when we think about a covenant, most of us are the one covenant that we are familiar with is the covenant of marriage, okay? The covenant of marriage. When we get married, we make promises to one another. We make commitments to one another that bind us together, right? When we stand before a pastor and we stand in front of an audience that's supposed to hold us accountable to the vows that we are making, we make these kinds of commitments. I'm gonna be true to you. I'm gonna be committed to you in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, until death parts us. We make these kinds of commitments to each other. Now, let me say this as an aside. When I perform weddings, okay? Now, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here, okay? I'm just telling you what I do, all right? When I perform weddings, I make the groom and the bride make the traditional covenant commitments to each other. Like, there's none of this, you're writing your own, you know, you had my heart from the day that we met, and I promised to always put the lid down when I use the bathroom. Like, no, yeah, you know. No. I want you to say these words. Like, I'm going to be committed to you whether you are sick or healthy. I'm going to be committed to you whether you are poor or rich. Like, I want you to say these words. I want you to commit to one another that even if one of you gets Alzheimer's and forgets who you are, you're gonna stay committed to them. And so these are promises, commitments that we make to one another. Marriage is a covenant, okay? Marriage is not a contract. You say, what's the difference? Well, one person said it like this: with a contract, if one agreeing party does something in violation of the contract, then it is considered broken. The whole contract becomes null and void. Basically, the signers agree to hold up their end as long as the other signatories hold up theirs too. But with a covenant, both parties agree to hold up their end regardless of whether the other party keeps their agreement or not. A violation of a covenant by one party doesn't matter as far as the other party's responsibility to continue to do what they agreed to do. And sometimes people will say this, and it's wrong. People will say, well, marriage is 50-50. No, marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 100-100. Okay? You do your part regardless of whether or not your spouse does their part. And they do their part regardless of whether or not you do your part. Marriage is a covenant that is 50-50. And for too many people, marriage has become a contract where it's like, well, if you do your part, then I'll do my part. But if you don't do your part, then I'm out of here. That's not what marriage is supposed to be according to the Bible. It's not, if you meet my expectations, then I'll meet your expectations. No, it's I'm going to serve you and love you and be committed to you. I'm going to trust that you're going to do that with me, but even if you don't, I'm going to fulfill my covenant commitment to you. Now, the problem is that in America, church membership has become a contract too. And people have this kind of attitude when it comes to church. If I'm being fed, if I'm being served, if I'm being ministered to with the programs and the music and the preaching and the relationships that I want and I like, then I'll stay. But the minute that stops, I'm out of here. If I'm being served with the things that I want, then I'll stay. But the minute that stops, I'm out of here. And it's this consumer mentality. If I don't get what I want, then I'm going to leave. If I don't have the relationships or the programs or the music or the preaching or whatever it is that I like, leadership that I like, then I'm gone. Can I just tell you something? That's not what the New Testament church was all about. That's not what a biblical church is all about. It should not be this way. God calls us to covenant relationships with one another, to be devoted to the fellowship, the communion of the church, not to contracts. We voluntarily, as you become a member of a local church, you are voluntarily choosing to bind yourself together with other brothers and sisters in Christ for the building up of your life and for the building up of their life in Christ-likeness. You are binding yourself. We are binding ourselves together. It's what God has done with us. God has entered into a covenant with us, and he has said to us, I am going to do for you what you cannot do for yourself, even though you can't do it in response to me, in return to me. And so I am expecting that the people that I have loved and the people that I have saved to display my heart, to display my character to one another by being committed to one another the way I have been committed to you. God enters into a contract, not a contract, a covenant with us, and we should enter into a covenant with one another. And as we do so, we reflect the heart and character of our covenant Lord. And so let me just say this as we kind of walk through what it means to be devoted to the fellowship. Let me give you kind of the main idea up front. Meaningful membership or covenant membership means being responsible for one another's discipleship by keeping the one another commands of the Bible. And say that again. Meaningful membership means being responsible for one another's discipleship by keeping the one another commands of the Bible. That's what membership is all about. Okay, and so I want to walk through four areas of what this looks like, what it means to be responsible for each other's discipleship, what it means to fulfill the one another commands of the Bible. Four areas specifically, four kind of characteristics of what church membership should be, all right? Number one, we are called to gather. We are called to gather or to assemble with one another. The first devotion when it comes to devotion to fellowship means we are devoted to gathering together to worship the Lord. Listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. There is a command, a biblical command, to assemble together to worship the Lord. Now, let me give a caveat here, okay? 2020 is awful, you know, as people say, I hate it here, all right? You know, 2020 has been rough, all right? And so I'm not saying that with quarantine or sickness or people who are in the vulnerable population that staying at home and worshiping online is not okay. So I'm not trying to criticize you for that. But the normal pattern, the normal expectation, not saying there may be seasons that change it, but the normal expectation, the normal pattern is that we will gather together in person, not virtually, hear from the Lord, worship the Lord, and assemble together. That's the normal pattern of the New Testament, is that we would gather together. We're asking for you to commit to 1 hour a week in worship, sometimes a little bit more, all right, depending on how long the preacher goes, all right? So that's on me, all right, when it goes longer than an hour, or sometimes the singing, okay? But we'll all share responsibility here. But we're asking you basically to commit 1 hour a week. Let's gather together in this room. Let's sing praises to the Lord. Let's pray together. Let's hear from his word. Let's give of our tithes and offerings. Like, that's what we're asking you, like 1 hour a week that we commit and that we engage. Like, not just that you show up, but that you engage. So like, when we stand and sing, you sing, okay? And I know some guys, that's kind of difficult, and you're like, well, I'm not gonna sing. Okay, well, all right. Heaven's probably gonna be a difficult place for you for the first couple years that you're there, all right? Like, you're gonna have to learn to sing. Like, it doesn't matter whether you can carry a tune or what. Your children need to hear you sing. They need to see you sing. Your wife needs to hear you sing. The people around you need to hear you sing. When you show up, engage, sing. When we pray, you join in with the prayer. When the word is preached, you listen and you take notes. Like, be here, be involved, be engaged. Don't be checking the SEC scores as much as you want to, okay? Like, engage in worship. That's what we are called to do. And that's part of, as we're talking about being responsible for one another's discipleship. It happens here in the room. Listen what the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Paul says, when we sing together, we are encouraging and instructing and admonishing one another. So when you sing, when I sing, we are teaching one another in wisdom. That's what Paul says here in Colossians chapter 3. We are teaching and instructing and encouraging one another with these truths. And so we need to sing. We need to participate. Songs are super important because, listen, you may not remember, and I'm not under any illusion here, you may not remember anything that I say tonight. But the songs that we sing, they're going to be stuck in your head, and you're going to remember those truths. I've been in hospital rooms and in nursing homes with people who have Alzheimer's and dementia and can't remember anything, who can sing Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. And so these things, these truths are important. They aid in memorizing the truths of God. Like, let me give you a silly example real quick, okay? I'm gonna say a line. I'm not gonna sing it, okay? I'll spare you all that. I'm gonna say a line, and I want you to finish the line, okay? In West Philadelphia, born and raised. Okay, on the playground, okay. So here's the deal, okay? And it really pains me to say this. The theme song for The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That show went off the air 24 years ago. And most of you know that line, okay? Why? Because songs are memorable. They stick in our brain. They're part of who we are. And so singing these deep theological truths that give us the hope of the gospel is so important. And so when we come together, you need to gather together. We need to assemble with one another, and we need to engage in worship, because as we do, we're instructing and encouraging one another. So the first thing we're called to is to gather. Number two, we are called to go. We are called to go, and I mean by that, we serve one another. Yes, we go and serve the world and the lost. We've talked about that the last 2 weeks. Pastor Kevin talked about global missions. We talked about evangelism last week. Yes, we go and serve the world, but we also go and serve each other. We are called to minister to and serve one another, just like this church did here, as they're giving of their possessions and they're giving of their money and they're making sure that they're meeting these needs. We are called to minister to one another. Listen to what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 says this. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We're called to serve one another, to serve each other. God has given you spiritual gifts. God has equipped you with spiritual gifts so that you can use them for the good of your brothers and sisters in Christ, so that you can serve and minister to your fellow Christians. Like, again, as we think about college football coming back and SEC football today, the sports analogy is always helpful to me. Like, when you think about a football team, everybody has a role to play. And if people don't play their role, if the offensive line doesn't block, if the quarterback can't make the right decisions and reads, if the cornerbacks can't cover, like all these different things, if you don't fulfill your role, what you have been naturally gifted to do, then the team's going to suffer. And the same thing is true in the church. If you don't fulfill your role with the gifts that God has given you, then the church is going to suffer. And what that means is, again, we talk about church membership, we need each other. And so the bottom line is, if you are not exercising your spiritual gift, it's not just gonna mean that you're deficient in your walk with Christ, it's going to mean that I'm deficient in my walk with Christ, because you're not serving me in the way that I need to be served. And if I'm not exercising my spiritual gift, it's not gonna be just me who's deficient in my walk with Christ, you are gonna be lacking, because I'm not serving you in the way that God means for you to be served. And so we are all called together to exercise our gifts, to minister and to serve, so that the church, the body, is built up, and so that we're not lacking anything. And so you need to find a place, a ministry, where you can serve. You need to find a ministry to plug into. I told you earlier, we're in terms of gathering, 1 hour a week, we're expecting for you to be here in the worship gathering, worshiping the Lord and hearing from His word. And really, let me say this right now, what we expect of church members, all right, this is minimal, bottom line. What we expect of church members is that you would give 3 hours a week to the church, okay? Out of all the hours that you have, we're asking for 3 hours. Here's what those 3 hours are. We're asking you to give an hour a week in worship, the gathering, an hour a week in a BLG, where you're in a small group, where you're hearing the word and you're developing relationships with other Christians, and an hour a week serving, okay? That's what we're hoping for. Hour a week in worship, hour a week in your BLG, and an hour a week serving in some kind of ministry, serving in children's ministry, serving in youth ministry, being a greeter, okay? Serving in worship ministry, whatever it is, okay? There's all kinds of ministries and opportunities that we have. Here's a church where we can serve and minister to one another, and we're asking you, can you give an hour a week to serve your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ and to serve the lost and the unchurched who are coming and visiting us, okay? So we are called to go. We are called to serve one another. Number three, what it means to be devoted to the fellowship is that you give. You give. We're called to meet one another's needs. We see here in Acts chapter 2, like this early church, I mean, they were amazing. And this is what, I mean, I've always wanted to be a part of as a pastor. This is the kind of church I've always wanted to be a part of. They're living life together. They're making sure that every need is met. They're not holding on to their possessions tightly and saying, this is mine and I'm not gonna give away. No, they're giving these things away freely. Again, as we said the first week, it's not communism. They're not being forced to like throw everything into a pot and distribute evenly. They're voluntarily saying, okay, look, what I have, use it so that other people are not in need, so that other people are not lacking. And so they have all things in common. They're selling their possessions and belongings, distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They're incredibly generous to one another. And listen, let me just say this again. This may come across self-serving, but it's not. I mean, I'm the interim pastor. I'm not going to be here forever. Okay, so I'm just telling you what the Bible says. All right, there is a command in the Bible, and there is a clear pattern in the Bible that Christians are expected to give generously to the ministry and mission of their local church. That is a biblical command and a pattern that we see throughout the New Testament. Christians are called to give to the ministry and mission of their local church. And as you give to First Baptist Church Naples, you're giving to benevolence ministry where we meet people's needs when they're not able to meet their own needs. You're giving to fund and resource ministry where we're ministering to children and youth and small groups and men's and women's and senior adults. And you're giving to fund and resource all kinds of ministry that's being done. And you're giving and you're funding mission, so that people who are in darkness can be brought into the light. People who are spiritually dead can be brought to life by the witness of the gospel. That's true here in Southwest Florida, and that's true to the ends of the earth. We are right now, we have missionaries in the most unreached and furthest flung places of the world who are being resourced to share the gospel because you give faithfully of your tithes and offerings. And so we are called to give. God asks us to give. And not only that, but God blesses our generosity. We were hearing this story when I was a kid. I was a member when I was very little. I was a member of a church called First Baptist Church Dallas. And the pastor there was a famous pastor named W.A. Criswell. And he told this story of early on in his ministry in First Baptist Dallas, he had this young businessman who came to him and was meeting with him. And Dr. Criswell told him, you need to become a tither. You need to give 10% of what the Lord blesses you with in terms of your, he was making a small amount of money. He was, again, brand new in business. And he said, you need to commit now to give 10% of your earnings to the Lord, and the Lord will bless you. And so the guy committed to do that, and he started to give 10%. And he became very successful. And over the next decade or so, became a very wealthy and prominent businessman in Dallas, to where he was making a bunch of money. And he came to Dr. Criswell one day and he said, look, I'm making all this money now, and I can't in good conscience give so much. I can't, like 10% is just so much. I can't in good conscience give 10% of what I have to the church. And so what do I do? And so Dr. Criswell said, well, tell you what I'll do. I'll commit as your pastor to praying for you, and I'll pray that God gives you the salary that will help you in good conscience give 10% of it to the church. And that's going to be my prayer for you. He's like, no, don't pray that. Don't pray that, right? And listen, I just say that to say this. I've never met anybody in my life who says, you know what? I regret giving 10%. To the Lord. I mean, my parents, when I was growing up, there were four boys in my family. My dad was a seminary professor. We had no money. And my parents always gave 10 and 15% and got up to where they were given 20% of what they made to the Lord. And guess what? Not once has my dad ever said to me that he regrets it. And so we are called to be generous people who give to the mission and the ministry of the Lord. And it amazes me. Listen, I understand these are hard times. I understand if you don't have a job right now and if money's not coming in, not giving, like I get all that. But if you do have a job and the money is coming in, I just don't understand people who withhold their giving from the church. I don't get it. And so my question is, do you want God to withhold blessing from your life? If you do, then withhold your giving. If you don't, then as Jesus has given all that he has, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians, that we know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that you in his poverty might become rich. So if you know what Jesus has given up for you, it really isn't difficult for you to give up what he's given to you to minister to other people. And so we are called in being devoted to the fellowship to give, to meet one another's needs. Number four, last one. Being devoted to the fellowship means that we grow together, that we grow together. We build one another up. Listen, the whole point of the Christian life, the whole point of the Christian life is to grow in Christ-likeness. Like, boil this whole thing down. You as an individual Christian, what God wants for your life is for you to become more like Jesus. And collectively, we as a church, as the body of Christ, to look more like Jesus. That's the whole thing, okay? And the only way that's going to happen is if we serve and love and minister to one another, okay? It's the only way that's gonna happen. We need each other. It only occurs, you only become Christ-like as we build each other up. You cannot grow. We cannot grow as a church if each of us individually are not doing the one another commands of the New Testament and receiving the one another commands of the New Testament. That's the only way we're gonna grow into Christ-likeness. If you are obeying the one another commands and you are being served by the one another commands of the New Testament. There's dozens and dozens of them. Let me just run through several of them quickly and just see how you doing this and your brothers and sisters doing this as we do these things with one another, how it will help us be built up into be the people and the church that God wants us to be. John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. Love one another as I have loved you. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Romans 15:7, receive one another just as Christ also received us. Romans 15:14, admonish one another. Ephesians 4 verse 2, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Ephesians 4:32, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, therefore, comfort one another with these words. Hebrews 3, verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. James 4:11, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. James 5, verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. 1 Peter 3, verse 8, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. 1 Peter 4, 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Listen, as we do these things, as we love and have compassion and give preference to and receive and forgive and comfort and speak good of and confess and pray and be hospitable to one another, we grow into Christ-likeness. And so this is what we are called to. And listen, let me just be very practical here for a second. The only way that you're going to be able to accomplish this is if you are in a BLG, okay? Like, You can't accomplish this coming into a room where you're surrounded by hundreds of people that you don't know and they don't know you, and you sing the songs and you listen to the sermon and then you go home, okay? The only way that you're gonna be able to do this and have somebody do this for you is if you are in a small group, if you are in a BLG, okay? And so you need to be in a BLG. You can't become Christ-like by being a Lone Ranger Christian or by sitting among 100 people listening to a sermon. Only if you are in a group where you know and are known can these things happen. And so as a church, we are called to all of these things. We are called to love each other, to reconcile with each other, to bear with each other, to be kind to each other, to confess sin to one another, to pray for each other, to have compassion on one another. Can I just say this? I know these things are not easy. I know these things are not easy. My question is, do we want to be the church that Jesus wants us to be? Bottom line, do we want to be the kind of church that's like Jesus? And do we want people of Naples and Southwest Florida to say, man, I may not agree with everything that they believe, but man, they love each other. That's what I want. That's what I want for my life. I want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be bitter. I don't want to be unforgiving. I don't want to be unkind. I don't want to be inhospitable. I want to be gracious and loving and compassionate and a reconciler and a unifier. That's what I want to be, because that's who Jesus is. And that's what I want for the church that I'm a part of, is Lord Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, make us like you, so that people, when they see First Baptist Church Naples, they say, man, I don't know about what they believe, but goodness gracious, those are some sweet people who love each other. And so we, if we're gonna grow, we need to be devoted to the fellowship. Bottom line, if we're gonna be the people that we're called to be, then we need each other. Let me close with this. There's a picture, I'm gonna show you this on the screen. This is a story that Pastor Troy sent me this week. It's in North London, and there was a guy on this bridge. This guy on the bridge was threatening to jump off and commit suicide. And there were some people walking by. And what they did was they went to him and they grabbed him. You see people grabbed him around the legs, grabbed him around the neck. Some people got rope out of their cars and tied him off. And they sat there and they hugged him and they held him for 2 hours until the emergency people could come and rescue him. And I can't think of a better illustration or a better picture of what the church is called to be. We need each other. We need to commit to each other and to hold on to one another and to keep one another from walking off into disaster. And that's what church membership is all about, committing to one another. Listen, when we think about covenant membership, we as a church, we do have a covenant, okay? We have a covenant in our Constitution and bylaws that you, as a member of the church, that you've committed to. Now, we may need to tweak it and do some edits on it, but this is not a new concept for us as a church. It's not a new concept for the church in America. We have technically made commitments to one another. And what's even more important than the specifics of that are that we become the kind of church that loves one another the way that Jesus has loved us. Listen, churches used to commit to this. There used to be meaningful membership. There used to be covenant membership. In fact, when I was growing up in the Baptist hymnal, if you open up the cover of the Baptist hymnal, the church covenant was there in the hymnal. And people were making commitments to each other that we promised to love each other, we promised to comfort each other, we promised to give to the church, we promised to share the gospel with unbelievers, we promised to avoid gossip, we promised to attend the worship gathering, we promised to pray for each other, promised to reconcile with one another. Like, this was a commitment that churches used to make. There used to be meaningful membership, and we need to recover it. okay? We need to recover it specifically as First Baptist Church Naples, and we need to recover it as the church in America. That's why I'm super thankful for the work Pastor Troy has done and this membership checkup that he talked about earlier. I want to encourage all of you who are members of this church to go online and to make sure that you do the checkup so that we can know how to best minister to one another and to help each other grow in Christ-likeness. And I encourage you to share with your friends that are church members that they need to go online and do the church checkup, the membership checkup, so that we can know who we are as a church and how to minister to one another and how to hold each other accountable and help each other grow to be more like Jesus. So we need to recover this. We need to make commitments to one another that are way deeper than I'll be here as long as no one upsets me. We need to make commitments to one another that we will confess sin to one another and pray for one another and bear one another up. The problem in the American church is that instead of confessing sin and growing together, we run and hide. Instead of reconciling, we wield accountability sometimes in ungracious ways. We resist accountability. We go to another church, try to isolate ourselves and think, well, this Christian life is just me and Jesus and my personal relationship with Jesus. No one can say anything to me. I'm not going to say anything to anybody else. That may be what America tells you you need to do. That's hogwash. That's not Bible. That's not the Christian life, that we isolate and that we shift blame and that we don't confess and we don't live life together. That's not what God has called us to. So we need to make these commitments to one another. It's biblical to make these commitments to one another. It's practically helpful for us to make these commitments to one another. We need each other. We need accountability. We need interdependence so that we can make it to the end. It's the only way that we'll grow in Christ-likeness. It's the only way we'll genuinely care for other people and be cared for. It's the only way we'll persevere to the end, and it's the only way that we will display the love of Jesus to the world that needs it so badly. So let's recover this. The good news is we don't have a contract God who says, do for me, and then I'll do for you. We have a covenant Lord who says, I'll do for you what you cannot do for yourself and what you can never do for me in return. And I'll transform you into the kind of people who will do for others what they cannot do for themselves. That's what church membership is all about. Let me ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to go into a time of response. I'm going to pray and we'll stand and sing. And I just want to challenge you. There's going to be pastors here at the front, or there'll be a number if you're watching online that you can call in if you have a response to make. And whatever it is that the Lord is convicting you of right now, and he's impressing upon your heart, I pray that you would be sensitive to him. If you're in the room and you've never given your life to Jesus, today's the day. Become part of his church. Become part of his people. He's done for you what you cannot do for yourself. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He was raised from the dead. He's offering you new life right now. If you're here and you're a believer and you've never been obedient in baptism, that's your next step. Publicly profess your faith in baptism. Maybe you're here and you're not part of a church. I want to encourage you to consider joining this church. We're not perfect. We don't have everything figured out. But we'd love for you to be part of this family where we're trying our best to love each other, to care for one another, to serve one another. We'd love to be able to do those things for you and to have you do those things for us. So if you need to join a church, join this one. If you need to pray, if you need to confess sin, if you need to get bitterness out of your heart, if there's somebody you need to reconcile with, then my challenge to you is pray and commit to that now. Lord, I'm gonna do what you're calling me to do as soon as I leave this place. Whatever it is the Lord's impressing upon your heart, I pray that you would be obedient. If you have questions, if you want to be prayed for, we're going to have pastors here at the front. They'd love to talk to you, pray with you. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would help us to become the church that you want us to be. Father, we know it's not easy. We desperately need the help of your Spirit. But Lord, we're asking for you to do what only you can do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Will you stand to your feet? We're going to sing. If you have a decision to make, you come right now while we sing.